Thankful to be joined by State Police Trooper James O'Callaghan, who's calling in. Trooper, thanks so much for calling in. I don't want to put you on the spot and talk about an investigation that's ongoing, but there is a line that has to be walked, and I'm wondering how these decisions are made. You hear it across police department, whether it's State Police, Buffalo Police, Sheriff's Department, anywhere, where a lot of times it'll be said that this is a targeted incident, no danger to the general public, but there's not a lot of details that kind of support that being said. Is there anything you can say to the general public to, you know, kind of ease concerns people might have this morning?
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. One of the things we look at is we live in a day and age, and this is everyone under the sun, where we have all the information at our fingertips. If we want an answer, we grab it. If we want more information on something, we get it. And we get it quickly. When it comes to something like this, anything with law enforcement, there's always a delay. We can only put out sometimes what we have, and sometimes what we have isn't that much, or sometimes what we have is very good, but if we put out too much, it's going to mess with our investigation and possibility to tip off a suspect. So we have to be very delicate on that. But obviously when it comes to the public safety side of things, like you were saying earlier, I mean, that's a frequently traveled roadway right there. I go through there multiple times, sometimes a day. So all of us can kind of put ourselves in that scenario and be like, that could have been me. That could have been me yesterday. That could have been me a week before. And we totally understand that. That's where we kind of come out where if we believe that this is an active shooter scenario, we would immediately have put that out, you know, for the general public to kind of either do lockdowns or notify the public in some sort of scenario. And there's a multitude of different ways we could have done that. When we believe it's an isolated incident, we take the information we have and we use it. But one of the things is I don't want the delay sometimes of information to be to the general public to where, oh, well, it could be this, well, it could be that. We have to be very delicate. We can never truly say, you know what, there's no danger at all, 100%, because that's untrue. We don't live in that world. We have crime happening all the time. Sometimes, yeah, it's road rage. Sometimes it's an isolated event. Sometimes it's a targeted event. We don't believe this was a targeted event. Like I said, we believe it was an isolated incident. We don't have a motive. You know, the two people that went to the hospital are just starting to be able to be spoken to, and we have one deceased. And that is our pool of investigation of people outside the technology we have at our disposal to figure out, you know, the who, what, where, when. So we have to look at everything, but obviously when it comes to public safety, we put out what we believe to be necessary at the time. But like I said, in the day and age where we can usually grab any information we want and is readily available, that's kind of what we're used to. And when we don't get that, sometimes people are very hesitant.
You said there's a difference, and there is a difference in this case between a targeted event and an isolated event. Can you divulge any more or go into what that difference might be?
When we look at a lot of these scenarios and we say targeted, so when we say this is a targeted incident, that means there's some sort of issue between the victim and the suspect. They know each other. They have a past. It's a specific target that the suspect went out to do something to that specific victim. That would be a targeted event. We don't believe that this is this scenario. We believe when you say isolated, that means this incident happened, but we don't believe it has a ripple effect where this suspect is going to continue to ripple outward with additional crimes in and around that area, which would kind of fall into your active shooter or some sort of crime spree. So when we say isolated, we mean this incident is its only incident, and it doesn't have that ripple effect that may have continuous crime patterns outside of what happened in this original case.
It's safe to say you would not have allowed cars back on the 190, or I'm guessing allow cars to continue on the other side of the 190. You know, this is on the southbound. You wouldn't have allowed northbound 190 if you didn't have information that would kind of lead you to believe that it was safe to do so.
Correct. This call came in about 11:20. Let's put it in this perspective. If this was a truly an active shooter scenario, there are a lot of cars on that 190. There could have been, you know, a big difference of a different outcome on this situation. That also plays into a factor on with the information that we have. And believe me, there's a lot I'm not giving out, obviously, because we don't want to jeopardize our investigation. However, we look at all the information we have. We look at the possibilities that could have been, and then we use that to determine what we're going to put out, what's the safety parameter or risk on this, and that's what we're putting out. There's a lot of things that come into play with this. We have a lot of agencies and a lot of manpower working on this, and that's what the public has to understand. You had a call earlier that, you know, you can't show your full hand, and that's true. We have a lot of information. We have a lot of great leads. We have a lot of good people working on this from multiple different agencies. So when you have everyone, you know, coming together with different acronyms, and that's what our job is. Our job is to utilize all the technology and all the people and all the resources to come up with a conclusion. And I think we're doing pretty well. Obviously, we can't get into what we're doing, but we're doing very well with this investigation.
You know, it would seem that there's enough cameras in the area, just in the world in general, right, to be able to put together a pretty good picture. But I'm guessing those cameras aren't just you can snap your finger and have them all available to you right away.
No, a lot of those throughway cameras, they're cameras. We use them. We use them in media. We use them for what the traffic looks like in a certain scenario, what the backup or log jam is with cars, you know, from a collision to yesterday's event. But some of those cameras don't record, and it's just depending on what goes on in that area and what we have available to us. And like I said, we put out information where if you have any information, contact us, 585-344-6200. And when it comes to specifically, like, maybe you have a dash cam in your car, maybe you were on that stretch of road or getting on or coming off one of the ramps around exit 9 between 11 to maybe 11:30. And we don't put that out because we're just looking to grasp straws. We have a good idea of what we're doing and the information we have, but what we like to do is collect even more. This is where the Erie County District Attorney comes in, where the more evidence we have, the better. Because let's face it, we're looking for a dark color, late model Grand Jeep Cherokee. There's a lot of those in the area. We start looking at what DMV records for that model make of car and color scheme. Are there any stolen recently in the last, you know, whatever, couple months in this area? So you have to start. Well, that's a large pool of cars. It's a big area. Western New York's a highly populated area. And then is that suspect even from Western New York? Does it go out farther? So you have to look at all that. But let's say someone is getting on or off exit 9 or in the area. Maybe they didn't see the shooting occur, but maybe that car just happens to be in front of them at the next red light off some side street very close to that area. We could use that information, and that's why we ask for that, because we have actually received in prior and past criminal investigations dash cam footage from people where it's really helped out a lot. So, and it doesn't necessarily mean you saw the incident happen, but maybe in that time frame of 15 minutes before or after, you just happen to be around a car that is a dark-colored Jeep Grand Cherokee, and that's our vehicle.
If you have that footage, where should you send it one more time?
So you would contact New York State Police at 585-344-6200, and our investigators will work with you on getting that information or data.
Trooper, thank you so much.
Thank you.
James O'Callaghan joining us here on WBEN.